Welcome to Beauty and the Brain with your hosts, Dr. Chris Crowley and nurse practitioner Jerry Drinkard. Get ready to dive into the latest in revolutionary treatments, cutting-edge devices, and wellness secrets. Whether you're a consumer or provider, we're here to empower you at the forefront of beauty and aesthetics.
You know, she told me, like, all vaginas are supposed to stink.
Jerry, you know we're live. Hi, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Beauty and the Brain, the podcast where we discuss all things aesthetic. I'm your co-host, Dr. Chris Crowley.
And not everything's aesthetic, but I'm Jerry Drinker, family nurse practitioner, and together Chris and I own Skin and Tonic, a med spa located in Pace, Florida. And today we're joined by one of our favorite nurse practitioners and part of our Skin and Tonic family. We have Miss Allie Ballou with us.
They invited me because I have a vagina.
Yeah.
Lid doesn't stink.
Clearly, we have a really interesting topic today. We're talking about vaginal rejuvenation. And so in the, you know, workup to this show, Jerry was sharing with us a story about a client recently that just said it's just known that all vaginas are supposed to stink. And that kind of caught me off guard. That's not really the topic of today's podcast, but we can certainly talk about that.
Well, let's dive into it. Not literally.
This has gone too far already.
There's going to be so many. There will be so many good jokes here.
This is going to be where we get all of the hate comments for sure. We just talked about that. Can you imagine what we're going to get from this one?
So, should have had Betsy with us.
Oh, yeah. We need Betsy for this topic. Let's talk about vaginal rejuvenation. So that is the topic we're here today. And that is a controversial topic. It is something that is actually frowned upon by many in the gynecology world. They say it's something that shouldn't be done. It shouldn't be talked about. But I think as we talk about the term vaginal rejuvenation, it's important for us to really actually define what are we referring to.
I think when you say rejuvenation, people perceive it to be something aesthetic. That, like, that's where my first thought goes. It's not to make something more functional. And that's exactly when we talk about it now, that's what we talk about, and mostly because, you know, we have people who are having sex much older, and all these old men are out there on Viagra and Cialis. They're coming to see us for pee shots, pee ways, doing everything they can do. And you have perimenopausal, postmenopausal females that are having difficulty having sex because it's uncomfortable.
But we have a lot of those women who are also older that have younger boyfriends now. So those, you know, roles have reversed. It's no longer just the older guys with the young girls. It's happening the other way around. And so clearly they're wanting to enjoy this. They're not, you know, and if they can't, I think when we talk about rejuvenation, it is all encompassing. So it's not just an aesthetic procedure. It's not just to make something better or tighter for the male partner, which I think is a misconception that you're trying to rejuvenate something or make it different for the male to experience. But in reality, what we find is that many female patients are looking for ways for them to have experience pleasure with sex again.
Or not be in pain.
Yeah. Yeah, not even pleasure, but just
not hurt. Yeah, but just not hurt, yeah.
It truly amazes me how many patients we have that talk about how uncomfortable sex is. And it's one of those things that hasn't just started, that they've tolerated it for years. And a lot of times it's not addressed like in the primary care setting, and it's not necessarily because the physician or nurse practitioner, whoever they're seeing, doesn't want to address it, but it's just they oftentimes don't have the tools that other places have. And so to be able to take someone who's unable to have sex with their partner that they love and enjoy it, and for us to be able to help them with that, that's huge. That's so much bigger than fixing a frown line to me.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you, and we're by no means, none of us here are gynecologists. We did have a guest on, and we continue to invite other guests on that are board-certified gynecologists, urogynecologists that specialize in this area. But where we really fit in this space is that we offer services in the sexual health realm. So we are a medical spa, but we also specialize and have a large patient population where we do sexual health procedures. We got into this because of our experience with PRP or platelet-rich plasma, and nobody really frowned upon it when we talked about using that for stress incontinence. we had this machine that we could use for facial aesthetics and for hair growth, and everybody thought it was great and wonderful. And when we talked about using it for stress incontinence in women, nobody thought that was crazy. But when you do the same exact procedure and you change the indication for it and you say you're doing this for to minimize pain with sex or to improve their enjoyment of sex, then all of a sudden it's frowned upon. And so that's when we really realized that this is a bit of a controversial area. And we, you know, rather than running away from it, we embraced it. We said, we're okay with the uncomfortable. We're okay with going against the grain. We want to make sure that we're doing things that are medically safe and appropriate. But just because it doesn't fit the societal norms doesn't mean we're not going to discuss it or we're not going to perform it.
I think that part of the reason that our sexual health business has increased is just because of our comfort talking about it with patients. And we laugh and we joke and we talk about all the crazy things we did at the beginning of the podcast. But at the end of the day, we want everybody to be okay and to be the best that they can be and to feel the best they can about themselves. And we have, the books from Dr. Runnels about the female orgasm, and they're around every corner in the clinic where you can just pick them up and take them with you. And I can't tell you how many times people will bring them back and ask questions. And I think it's a really easy way for people to explore something and explore it with a professional that can help them.
So, Allie, I've worked with you a long time. So back as a nurse at ICU before you went to NP school as an NP student, and now you've been part of the Skin and Tonic family for a few years. I think this was an area that you were a bit uncomfortable with leaving critical care and transitioning to aesthetics. But now you're like, you do almost exclusively all of our female sexual health procedures. I mean, you're really an expert in this, and you do more now at this point than Jerry or I, either one, do. So was it difficult for you to perform these procedures?
Kind of at first. I mean, difficult, maybe like uncomfortable. Like, it's just,
let me rephrase that, not to perform it, because technically you're really good with your hands and your skills are great.
Yeah.
So I know you can do the procedure, but the conversation around the procedure.
Yeah. It's something that, like, I mean, you don't talk to your ICU patients about their sex life, or is it comfortable for you to have sex? Do you go to the bathroom a little bit whenever you jump or laugh? You know, it's not one of those conversations I was used to having. I also, my NP was geared towards acute care, so it wasn't like I was doing pap smears. I mean, I had to figure out how to, like, you know, hook the stirrups up to the bed, you know, like, that was one of the hardest parts, I feel like, at the beginning. And so it's this new setting that you're getting comfortable in. And most, a lot of women, I won't say most, but a lot of women are, they're also uncomfortable, you know, just having somebody in that very sensitive space, and they're scared, they're uncomfortable. I mean, I'm a woman, I go to the gynecologist, I don't like it. Nobody likes it. It's a very intimate thing to do with somebody who's your provider and who you spend, you know, a very minimal amount of time with. And so it was a little scary at first, because I'm thinking like, oh, are they thinking about me like how I think about my gynecologist? And I don't want that. Like, I want more of a, and we have a good relationship with most of our clients, I think. And so I think that helps. And the setting is a little more lax too than going to your OBGYNs. And so I think that helps. But it was a really exciting thing to get into. Like, I love it now.
Do you have, and I'm putting you on the spot with this, but do you have tips for people, for new providers that are entering this space, to really help facilitate or start those conversations with patients if they're going to offer these services?
I think having, like Jerry said, we do have those books around the clinic. I have one specifically right on the table that sits beside my chair where people sit when I check them in. They're going to see it. It's a cute little book. I have somebody touch it every single day in my office. We have flyers around the office about our other procedures, like the vagicadabra, the CO2 laser. And so having those easy talking points where they can just say, what's that? Or be like, oh my God, that's crazy. And if they even hint that they're interested in it, or, oh my God, that's so funny. Or like, what is that? Because they don't want to say like, oh, do I need this? But they're like, that's crazy. And then I can be like, oh no, it's not crazy, actually. Like, it's actually very normal. Tons of women get this and struggle with this. And here's the process, and here's how easy it is, and here's how simple it is. Then if they want to talk about it, they will. I kind of put that guard down and make it nonchalant. Like, this isn't some crazy taboo thing to talk about. Like, if you broke your toe, you would go to the doctor, you would get a cast. Like, it's just part of your body. It's a natural bodily function that should be functioning. And if it's not, you need to talk to a provider about it.
Yeah. And I think Jerry really is probably, I mean, I don't know, you can tell me I'm wrong, but he is your boss. So don't forget that. Just kidding. But he does, I think, set the bar high for this in modeling that behavior.
Yeah.
I think that everything you mentioned for new providers, you have to find ways to decrease that barrier to starting the conversation. So if somebody has to tell you it's a problem, it is really hard for them to get those words out, especially anything sexual in nature, male or female client. Finding a way to like decrease that barrier, and everything you just said is like, I'm so happy to hear you say it, because I don't know that we've ever articulated that, but I know that that's the way that we formed our practice. We've done websites, informational brochures, free books, things they can just pick up. And the minute they say anything about it, whether it's in a joking manner or not, we approach it in a very matter-of-fact manner where we bring that barrier down. And rather than making fun of it, because we want them to understand that, like, yeah, that's funny. We're not trying to say you don't have a good joke, but also we want you to know that this is something that's serious and we have no problem talking to you about it. We want to provide you all this information, and it's a judgment-free zone. Like, nothing that they say will surprise us, and then we're able to formulate a plan with them and make them comfortable with that. And like I said, Jerry, he's done this for many years. He's really good at it, but he, you know, has patients. You can talk about him yourself. I won't steal your thunder, but you have people from all over the U.S. that come in and see you, and some of various lifestyles, right? Heterosexual, you have gays, you have swingers, you have people with multiple boyfriends and girlfriends, and you do a good job of bringing that barrier down where they will tell you everything under the sun and there's zero judgment about it. It's like, how can we come up with a plan to help you? But I think the key is in decreasing that barrier to start the conversation, because I believe that's really hard. So for new providers, find a way. And if you're a patient out there and you see something like that, know that you can just, you know, for sure at our practice and hopefully with people who are providing these services, start the conversation somehow. Even if you don't say you have the problem, I believe it's easy enough to say, can you tell me about this procedure? And just getting education on it sometimes alone will help you, help ease you into that conversation.
Well, I think, you know, people Google and find us in various ways. So a lot of times their first exposure, they may not go to the website. That may not be the first thing. They may come calls directly to the office. And so I think from the very first time that they talk to somebody at the office, it's important that our staff knows that I want everybody there to think about it the way that I think about it and the way that Chris thinks about it. I think that that's probably part of the reason that we've been successful in this arena, is that I don't judge and I don't want anybody to ever feel like they're uncomfortable or that there's something that they can't say that's going to help us to help them. Because a lot of times, your initial visit with someone is a lot different than your third visit with someone. You know, that first visit, we all have barriers up a little bit, I think. And by the, you know, the second visit, usually it's much better. And by the third visit, like, we know everything and they're so open. And I wish that we could somehow make them that much more comfortable on the first visit. And so that's just my goal, because I've had various different things that were embarrassing to me to have to go to a provider with. And for a provider, I had Dr. Runnels like help me through mine and Pharaoh. And to have somebody like him that absolutely did not care, and I felt like I could tell the man anything in this world, and I think he probably helped to mold the practice that we run for our sexual health now. And I think it's real important for people out there to know that there are providers where you can tell them anything.
Yeah, because we took classes with him when he first launched P-Shot, O-Shot, you know, Vampire Facelift. And we've been part of that group now for many, many years. And we both learned from him. And in fact, I mean, an interesting little tidbit, before we ever started our aesthetic practice, before we ever started doing Botox or fillers, we both personally saw him and he did our treatment. So you saw him when he had his practice in Mobile, and I would fly down from Chicago and go with you to see Dr. Runnels, and he would personally do our treatment. So we've known him for a long time, and really, and he did kind of mold and shape us in the way that we have these conversations around sexual health. So that's really important. And I believe once you form those, start those conversations and form those connections, it then makes it easier to move forward. So I know when we first introduced Allie into the practice and we were offering a female to focus on some of our female sexual health procedures, we had patients that didn't want her to do it. And it wasn't they didn't trust her, but they had already formed a bond or a relationship with us and they just felt more comfortable. And even sometimes they're like, we don't even want necessarily extra people in here to talk about it. But now that she's been the initial point of contact and formed that relationship, they also now prefer to see Allie. So I think that if you're a provider, find a way to decrease those barriers to start the conversation and then really show them the trust that they put in you. So you've got to educate them and let them know that you will follow through with all that, because that's what we see now. You have, I would say most of the women now prefer to see you. And that just took learning how to have those conversations and training everybody in your staff to do it. So let's talk a little bit then about some of the causes of this. So when we talk about rejuvenation, I want to approach it from multiple standpoints. And so we can talk about rejuvenating it, meaning in terms of rejuvenating your sexual performance. We can talk about your functional matters. So things like stress incontinence. Stress incontinence, it's basically leaking urine when you cough or laugh and you leak a little bit of urine. We'll also talk a little bit about, things that transition with or change with age that can cause pain. We see this a lot with hormonal issues. And then we'll finally kind of wrap this up by talking about some of the external appearance. And so I think when we say vaginal rejuvenation, initially people either think it's to improve it for the male partner or to improve the way it appears. And while that can be secondary, that's usually not what we're aiming for. So, talking about the actual function and of this and the sexual issues, or specifically pain, what is it that you most commonly see women complain of?
Sandpaper sex is like one of those things, like it hurts them physically to have sex with their partners and then they avoid it or do anything they can to not have to do it. And it's an uncomfortable conversation for some people to have with their partners too. And so that's one of the most common things that I see is pain with sex.
Yeah, well, I was hoping you'd use the term without me putting it in your mouth, but sandpaper sex, I'd never even really heard that until, within the past few years. And now it's something I've heard multiple times. Maybe I'm more attuned to it, but we would hear pain and dryness. It's dry and it's painful. And it's interesting because Jerry actually was going to do a pee shot on a guy and his wife was there and I was going to just chat with her during the procedure. And she had referred him and brought the husband in for this procedure because he could not maintain an erection. He could get an erection, but not maintain it throughout the duration of sex. So he'd went through the whole workup, never shared with us that one of the main problems until they were apart, that his main issue was that she had a lot of extreme vaginal dryness and it caused pain to him when they had sex. And so I'm like, rather than having that blunt upfront conversation with her and us talking about ways to improve it for her, which lo and behold, we found out she was having pain as well. They were getting this procedure for him. And so it's all this complex, interplay between partners and things that we can provide. But this dryness or sandpaper, I would say, is probably one of the most common things that we hear.
And I can't imagine, because I would say almost every female, if you're at a menstruating age, you should know that, pulling out a dry tampon is the worst feeling in the world. I cannot imagine dry intercourse.
Or anybody who's ever had sex on the beach.
The drink or sex on the beach?
I was like, you go ahead and tell us this. I'm not even going to this is a story I haven't even heard yet.
Oh.
Nah.
A story for another podcast.
Isn't it just lighting in the mood?
With that, then what do you see most commonly from a functional perspective?
So from a functional perspective, obviously I see more men, but the treating females, the discomfort. That's the main thing, because you think about the age that we primarily, or that I primarily treat is, perimenopausal, postmenopausal women. Allie has a younger population, I think, probably of patients than of clientele than I do. And they're very open with me, and I think they've gotten to know me and they've gotten to trust me, and they'll ask about it because, like she said, we have brochures around the clinic We talk about it. I have a giant like penis in my office that's covered in like a disco ball. So it's a very easy topic to bring up. You know, probably five times a day, somebody's like, is that a penis?
Dr. Crowley's thinking, didn't I put that back in? Yeah,
didn't I hide that? I hide it somewhere. So I think the painful intercourse, or, you know, I don't get sandpaper sick so much as I do the painful intercourse and dryness. That's the thing I've heard.
But I think one of the most, and obviously, you know, we want to make sure that medically that things have been ruled out. And there are, we do work in this area. There are gynecologists that don't have the devices we have or the machines or the equipment that will refer. And if we think it's a gynecological issue, we want to make sure that they have a normal pap smear, that that they've been worked up from that perspective. Sometimes there are hormonal influences, hormonal changes.
I think that's a huge thing, is hormone optimization. And, you know, it's often overlooked because people, and I think sometimes they even feel guilty, like going to approach somebody about hormones because of how their spouse feel, because a lot of times it's perceived that like they're going for hormones to make them want to have sex with the spouse, or that there's something, I think it's a spouse can perceive that as something's wrong with me. It's taking a medication to make you want me. The hormone optimization is something that's huge, it's controversial. You can search it on the internet. There's all sorts of, like, how do you make a decision about that? And so, but I think that's something that's overlooked a lot of times.
And we've talked about it on several episodes of podcasts. I think we have some upcoming with hormone optimization. We did it for a little bit of time. Now we opt to work with somebody in the area who, in our opinion, does a very good job with hormone optimization. But it really is key and integral to a successful sexual health practice. You have to really make sure that those issues are addressed. And then from that standpoint, we can look at procedures we can do to either minimize side effects of some of the hormones, or to, you know, help these things work better. So once all that's addressed, there's no medical issues that need to be addressed and the hormones are optimized, then we look at things like our PRP, or platelet-rich plasma. So, you know, Jerry, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so for the females, we do PRP, and what that is, Chris says, platelet-rich plasma. We draw a blood sample, a 60 ml blood sample, spin it down. We spin it twice to get the best platelets that we can. And then it's re-injected after a topical numbing cream is applied into the vaginal wall and into the clit. And we have had great results for many years. We've been doing this for over 10 years, I guess, now. Maybe longer. I'm not sure.
About
10. But it's something, it's minimally invasive. There's no downtime with it. You know, there's very minimal side effects outside of like some bruising, very little discomfort, and you can go home and...
Yeah, so there's no, when we say no downtime, that means you can like enjoy sex right away. So there's no vaginal rest or anything. You know, we do the actual procedure developed originally by Dr. Runnels, or trademarked by him. It's at the O-Shot, that's what it's called. And you guys can go and look it up, oshot.com. But we actually then offer that in combination with some other procedures. We developed a procedure where we do either that, or we combine it with an energy-based device. And so we like to use a CO2 laser, and that helps remodel the internal vaginal wall, which will help with a lot of... So basically part of the aging process, as you lose some of the hormonal influences, is if you don't replace the estrogen, that vaginal wall gets really thin. And as it thins out, it gets drier, and that all contributes to, it's not as compliant. So it's really a little bit stiffer, it's drier, so it's painful then to have intercourse. And so we have a device, a CO2 laser, and we've developed a procedure with that we trademark. You can only get it at Skin and Tonic. It's the only place right now in the U.S. And anybody else that's offering it, they can only do it if they've been trained by us, and they ensure that they're doing this the way that we teach it. And that's called the Vagi Cadabra. And we named it that because Jerry thought it's like a magic wand for the vagina. And so our ladies were so happy with the results. And really after one treatment, and we can do a series up to three, but even after one treatment, there were such significant results. It really was truly like magic for those patients. And so, you know, that's how that name come about. So it's kind of a funny, catchy name, but really it was life-changing for those. Now, Allie, you do a lot of the Vagi Cadabra treatment, so why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what that treatment involves?
Yeah, so it's a CO2 laser on a very wand-like connector piece to the CO2 laser, And the wand actually goes all the way inside until you meet resistance of the vagina. And then we do a full circumference of rotations for the CO2 laser all around the inside wall, all the way out. And then you can also do some externally as well to help with stress incontinence too. And so that kind of stimulates collagen, helps to tighten, resurface the inside of the vaginal wall. And like you said, I mean, we've gotten results immediately after. The great thing is that I feel like, I mean, the thought of a laser down there is terrifying. And these women don't feel, we don't numb for it. Like, there's just not, those nerve endings are just not there. And so.
Yeah, I think it's that it's, you know, the type of laser that we use, it's attracted to water. And naturally, even if it's on the drier side, that's a moisture environment. And so we really, people rate it like a 0 to 1 on a pain scale of 10. Like, most of the time, the most discomfort, and correct me if you disagree with me on this, but it's from putting the wand inside they're dry is why they're there.
It's like getting a pap smear. Like, you know, if you're dry, like whenever you come and we don't lube it because of that.
Yeah, we don't like to put a lot of lubricant because it will absorb some of the energy from the laser. So we don't put lots on there. So that probably is the most uncomfortable part of this. Now, there is a little bit of vaginal rest or downtime with this, right? So we say no sex for
3 days
after this. And so we do ask that you abstain for a few days after this procedure.
Or tampons or
nothing inside of it.
Yeah.
And so that is one of the downsides. Now, we can combine that with our PRP. So we can do those in conjunction. We can do combination therapies. And there are other energy-based devices out there that are quite well-known that do similar things. Let's move a little bit and talk about external things that we can do. So Jerry, I know that you just had a patient maybe last week that come in, and let's talk about what she wanted and what you did.
She was looking for, she'd had some weight loss, she'd had some kids, she's not advanced age, but she's getting to be closer to middle age, and she said that she just felt like it looked deflated, and so she was very interested in just having like a healthier, fluffier, if that's what you want to call it, look. And so she came and she wanted to know, she had filler in her lips before and she got ready to leave, and she's like, I only have one more treatment that I'm going to be getting like coming up soon. And she's like, and Jerry, I want my lips done. I told her, I was like, come back, we'll take care of you. And we did. And she had a beautiful.
Now, people that are listening can't see the gesture you just made.
Well, the gesture I just made, I pointed at lips that were not on my face.
Bottom lips, not top lips.
The bottom lips. And so she was wanting a restoration of her vaginal lips, her labia. And so we did that. And she had a great result. She tolerated it fine. And we told her that she needed to give it a couple of days off and she could go back to work.
Now, it's interesting because we talk about stereotypes, and Allie has informed us something as we were getting ready for this podcast that, you know, I wasn't really even aware of. That tell us about these looks.
So me and my friend were talking about this last night because while I was getting my hair done, because there are women who, I've seen obviously a lot of sexual health patients since working at Skin and Tonic, and there are two different sides of the spectrum that I've come to learn. There are women who want their lips fuller, and there are women who want to look like a Barbie doll. And so I think that's, or you guys thought that was very crazy and interesting. I don't know why. I didn't really think much of it whenever I found that out, but I guess, I don't know. I guess everybody has a preference.
Yeah, because Jerry, what did you say about the doll comparison?
I said, there's not a guy out there that wants to look like a Ken doll.
Right.
So it's very interesting that some women want the labia fully plumped and inflated and fluffy appearing, and others want them very flat, like there's nothing there at all.
Yeah, just smooth. I think a lot of it, I don't know, for me thinking about it, like women can be very self-conscious about their labia majora because, oh my God, these swimsuits these days are so skimpy and very tiny, and people are like, how are these girls wearing, you know, these bikinis? And so I think a lot of people are self-conscious because they don't want their labia to be seen through their swimsuits. And that's something, or camel toe. And so that's something that women have to worry about exposing. And so I think for that side of the argument, that's something that women think about as being like exposed. Other side of the argument, maybe they like it. I don't know.
The good thing is have a discussion with your provider because there may or may not be things that we can do. So it's very off-label, but Jerry actually did an enhancement with hyaluronic acid filler. We can also do that same thing with PRP or PRF gel. We can combine that with fillers. There's a lot of different things we can do with our fillers and plasma treatments in that area. But we also have energy-based devices. And so we have the Neogen, and I think you have somebody on your schedule coming up.
I do. We're going to be very soon. We're going to be doing a Neogen plasma for vaginal rejuvenation. And so the goal of this procedure is going to be using plasma technology is to tighten the labia majora. And so stay tuned on that. We're excited for it.
Yeah, and we're very grateful and happy. So we obviously treat a lot of patients that want to be discreet, and we respect that. And we never ask anybody to put anything out there they're uncomfortable with. But this particular patient has agreed as a modeling situation that we can use photos and talk about the story and share with you guys. So stay tuned. We will be putting some up before and afters that you guys can see. It'll be on the website, obviously. We got to make sure that you're the right age to see it and all that stuff. But you know, this patient has been really kind and will allow us to share in her journey as we do this with our Neogen plasma device. So that's great. And we can also then use the Plexor device. It's another plasma device that we can use either internally, externally, or in a combination of the two to kind of stimulate collagen and to do some remodeling externally. And so, you know, we'll see if we get somebody that agrees to be a model for that one day, and we can show that as well. So as you can see, lots of things that we can talk about. We could probably do an entire second episode or third episode on just vaginal rejuvenation, the controversies around it, the terminology, what does it mean, the devices, technology, ways that we can, you know, enhance this internally, externally, both. And so if you guys want additional topics on this, send us messages on it, comment in any of our feeds. So send us messages on YouTube or through our social media site, any of us personally or the Skin and Tonic site. So I think that's going to wrap us up. So thanks for watching another episode or listening to another episode of Beauty and the Brain.
We'll see you soon.
Bye.